haven't already, greet your neighbor, tell them good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, do we have any first-time visitors this morning? No first-time visitors? First time?
Gilbert, John and Barbara, and Daniel, and Debbie.
Welcome to Deacon's Church. Okay, any announcements this morning? Steve? No men's group breakfast in May. Anyone else? Kim? For those of you who haven't tasted Tastefully Simple, it is really, really, really good, and it's really, really, really easy. So I invite you to come and taste test, and if you're interested, to purchase some to help the youth get to Guatemala.
And we know that you're tired of fundraising. We are too.
We are too.
Susan is too. Pam is too. And Pam is to every one of them, I think. But the youth must have money if they get to Puerto Rico and back. And so maybe this will be the biggest year we've ever done, and we'll never do it like this again, and dig down in our pockets and give a freebie, and we'll have to do fundraisers. But just pray for them and get us through this year so they can have enough funds to get the Puerto Ricans back.
You know, I don't, I think Susan knows the exact amount, but we're really, really close.
Really close.
We've got, after today's Tastefully Simple, next Saturday is a golf tournament at Henry Horton. So any of you golfers, we would love to have you. If you don't want to golf, if you'd like to buy a sponsorship for a hole, that would be good too. That's our last fundraiser. So anything after that is just, we got to figure it out. But we're really, really, really close. Some of the kids have a trip completely paid for, because it depends on the amount they have is how much they've worked the fundraisers. Whoever works the fundraiser, we divide the profit in between all of those who work the fundraiser. So if you don't work a fundraiser, then you don't get any money. So that, we just thought that was the only fair way to do it. Yeah, there's a lot of kids that already have their money, but they're continuing to work the fundraiser, and then they're saying, give my portion to such and such. So it's really been, it's been uplifting to me to see how hard these youth have worked. They really have worked hard trying to get them to where they're going.
Morgan is also going to Japan to represent Columbia Presbyterian Youth at General Assembly this year. And she's had to work for that along with grandmother out there.
Mm-hmm. It was all Morgan, and she's raised all her money for that too. So I would also like to announce, outside of what the youth are doing in church, Leanne Justice and Jessica Tucker were accepted into the National Honor Society this week. So I think they did their well played. Okay, any more announcements? Any prayer requests? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joyce. Okay, prayer request. Back to the announcements. Go ahead. Thanks, Vicki. Okay, any prayer requests? I have one. Just a cousin who is like more like a brother had a heart attack on Friday, and he is having triple bypass surgery on Monday. His name is Mitchell Rummage, and he's going to be at St. Thomas. We're glad to have you back.
Pam, I'm sure I was in and out a little bit here, but she probably didn't mention the fact that the last day of the month we're going to Guatemala, and we'd just like for y'all to pray for us. There'll be 13, but we've got six going from this church. That'll be the whole Canoose family and myself and Liz Stout. So lift us up, and we're going down there to set up the equipment for the clinic. They finally got the equipment there. It's in the clinic. We're not going down there and wait again like we did last year. So just pray for us. There'll be, like I say, 13. One from San Francisco, one from Alabama, two from Kentucky, one from Georgia, I believe is how it goes.
Really lift up. Me and Jesse are all excited about going back because we want to see the kids again. This is a real step of faith for Jeff and Jordan, so y'all lift them up and pray that Jeff don't back out before May 31st gets here. It's been a road trying to get him to do one of these trips. Okay, any praise reports, prayer anymore? Charlie. Lift Joyce Thomas up, and also lift Charlie up if he tries to care for her. Anyone else? Okay, let's bow for a moment of silent prayer as we light the candles and welcome Jesus, the light of the world, into our sanctuary. Call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 47. It is responsive and it's in your bulletin. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For the King of kings of all the earth, sing to him a psalm of praise.
Let's all stand and turn our hymns to hymn 234 and sing God's praise.
Amen. Go to God in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come to offer praise unto you, to sing songs that would bring glory to your name. Lord, songs that would bring a smile to your face. Lord, songs that would draw us closer to you and help us to understand your great love for us and your call upon our life. Lord, we thank you that you desire that we come and sing unto you and perform before you. And Lord, we sometimes wonder about what the church does for us. But Lord, we know that the church is for your honor and for your glory. And Lord, we know that you are the audience. We are those who are living and even performing before you at this hour. So enable us, Lord, as we have assembled in your name to sing and to pray and to respond to your calls, your various calls to give, Lord, together before your table, Lord, we just pray that everything that would be done, that you would so direct us that we would do it for your honor and for your glory. And Lord, we know that when we honor you, we are blessed, and we thank you for that. Lord, we want to crown you with the many crowns that you deserve. And now we come, Lord, as one aspect of that crowning, to follow you and your Son Jesus in the way that he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Real quick, one thing I neglected to say was the Mothers and Others banquet was last night, and it was really, really wonderful. And I'd like to thank Charlotte and Karen and those of the CPW for a wonderful night. It was very, very enjoyable. Okay, now comes the time where we confess our sin. Our call to confession comes from 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 6. When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day they fasted, and there they confessed, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel was leader of Israel at Mizpah. Our prayer confession, if you pray with me in unison. We have to confess, O Lord, that we are people who want to have everything proven for us. We hear the message in the Scripture of Jesus' ascension, and we smile smugly, not truly believing the vision. Forgive us for our arrogant doubts and attitudes of smugness. Help us remember that everything Jesus taught us was to prepare us to help build God's realm here on earth. We are called to be people of faith, not of absolute proof, as we understand it. Let us place our trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let us look with eyes of faith as he ascends to the Father. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness comes from Psalm 103, verses 2 through 4. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion.
Turn now, if you will, please, to hymn 324, or I believe on the screen.
Going blind, but I'm getting old and I can't keep my place. So, okay, our offertory sentence this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. And do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Will our ushers please come forward?
Thank you.
For communion, and let's sing hymn
3:23. Karen and Lewis and Ed, Steve Alamore and Sam and Melanie will gather with me here in the altar. May I remind you that Jesus met with the disciples, the 12, in the upper room on the night in which he was betrayed to celebrate the Passover. They wanted to remember how God had freed them from the bondage of Egypt, and how he had led them from that land across the Red Sea and after a long journey into the promised land. With many difficulties, he kept leading them anyway. They remembered on that night, that Passover, in a place we call the upper room. And that night, Jesus instituted a way that we could remember how he has released us from sin
how he gave his life to redeem us, that we might be free of sin. The Gospel of Matthew records it this way: as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Who is welcome at the Lord's table? All believers. As people of the Reformed tradition, we believe that this is not our table. This is the Lord's table. And he invites all who trust him as their Lord and Savior to eat and drink, remembering the great sacrifice that he made, the broken body, the shed blood. Concerning children, it's your choice, parents. All don't agree with me, but Jesus invited the children to come unto him, even when the disciples had wanted to send them away. And he spoke of us becoming like little children to be able to enter into the kingdom of God. He invited the children. He wanted the children to learn of him. I know of no better way to have let the children or help the children to learn of Jesus than to eat and drink from his table the elements that represent his body. But still, I respect the desires of you parents. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for being willing to leave the glories of heaven and come to earth to live among us and then to die for us. Thank you, Lord, that you lived a sinful life, a sinless life before us. For we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We know, Lord, that you live a perfect life without sin. And Lord, that made you a perfect sacrifice to be offered for our sin. So thank you for coming and living before us the way that life should be lived. And Lord, when we're not able to do it, you redeem us from our sinfulness, from our sin, and forgive us. Thank you, Lord, for this bread, a common element that's made holy because it's used for instruction and divine truth and for this holy use. Send it apart. Make it for us that body that was broken for us. And we are humble as we remember that. Thank you in Jesus' name. Eat of the bread, Ed, remembering Christ's body broken for you. Would you serve Steve? The cup, fruit of the vine, juice of the grape, but it represents the shed blood, shed for the remission of sin. Jesus' blood, shed for us. Lord God, thank you again for that sinless life lived before us, and that sacrificial death that Jesus experienced. Bless this cup. Nourish it spiritually through. In Jesus' name. The blood of Christ shed for you.
Scripture lesson this morning comes from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, He showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proof that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Somehow we're having technical difficulties. Is that right? Nothing is working. Okay. You have an outline before you. I'd like to call your attention to verse 9 through verse 14 of Acts chapter 1 also. Acts chapter 1 verse 9 through verse 14. You heard Jesus telling the disciples, or talking to the disciples. Verse 9 says, "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" The ascension. Traditionally, that day is celebrated 40 days after the resurrection. Jesus walked 40 days upon the earth, and this experience happened. That was Thursday, Ascension Day. Jesus was taken up into heaven. I call your attention, you can see the title of the sermon this morning is "The In-Between Times." The In-Between Times. Think of some in-between times in your life. In-between times. That time between two events. Between the time I was 6 and 11, we lived thus and so. And so and so and so and so and so and so was my teacher, or were my teachers. Between my senior year of college and graduate school, if we went there, between my senior year of high school and entering college, can you remember what you did? Between the time you were allowed first to drive a car and were permitted to get your license, that there were some bad times between this bad experience and another bad experience, or this good experience and a bad experience. Everybody has in-between times. Am I right? Between the time I had bypass surgery, and get to think about that as I was with the Campbell family this week, and the time I was allowed, permitted, able to go back to full force, think about, if you will, that time between Jesus' ascension and His return to earth. And that's where we are right now. He ascended with the promise to come back. These two that met with the 11 disciples, they spoke of Him coming back according to what He had said back in another verse. But I want you to think of the ascension this morning. Think of it. You're out from town, and there you are with one who has lived with you for 3 years, or some of them he had been with for 3 years. We're not sure when each one joined into the group that were following Jesus. But there they were. Out from town a bit. And Jesus had been killed. But 43 days before, been placed in a tomb, and on the third day He had risen from the grave, or the tomb. Risen from the dead. God had raised Him up. And He walked on earth for 40 days, and He appeared to the disciples at various times. Sometimes in rooms where they were gathered behind locked doors. It just appeared. Sometimes, as two of other followers walked to Emmaus. One time when the disciples had gone fishing, and when they came in from fishing, He met them there. Talk with them. Now, they're here. And we can only imagine, I think of that song, we can only imagine what heaven's going to be like, but I can hardly imagine this experience. The prayer of confession, we gave credit for the person who penned this. You know, we say, oh yeah, did that really happen? A little smugness. Yeah, we say it, but do we really believe it? Now we're standing there with Jesus, or they're standing there with Jesus, and there He is, taken up into a cloud. I guess this week, thinking of preaching about this, I've thought more seriously about this experience than I have in a long time. At least we read over it and say, oh yeah, it happened. We believe what the Bible says, it happened. But think of that. Think of that experience. One just being lifted up. Go to a passion play and they take you through the passion of Christ, the suffering and passion of Christ, and then they take you through the resurrection. Got to have that part of the story, and then they take you through the ascension. And what do? They either tie wires up high and pull the actor up, or get a lift and hide it behind a mechanical lift and put it, should I not have told that? Put it behind the screen and lift the character up. And we know that is play acting to reveal what I'm convinced happened. But think of it. We can only imagine. Wow! Have you ever seen anybody just lifted up? Not in an airplane, just lifted up? not even flapping their wings.
Not even running fast to the edge of a cliff and jumping off of the cliff. They all fall.
Verse 10 through 14, or actually 9-14, it's about Jesus being lifted up. They were looking intently up in the sky as he was going. Suddenly, two men dressed in white stood before them, and it's kind of a silly question to me. Why are you standing here? They were amazed. They were astounded. They were confused. They were bright-eyed. And can you imagine when they went back to town and tried to tell this story? How people laughed at them. What were you drinking, fellas? What were you smoking? What are you thinking? Are you crazy? Can you imagine that? They returned to Jerusalem from the hill called Mount Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. It's a good thing they didn't go to the town square and try to convince people that what they had seen. So they'd have been laughed out of town, would they not? This tells those who were present. Verse 8 says the disciples would receive power. Jesus had told them that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them. And that experience came 10 days later. I got a problem next Sunday. It's Mother's Day. Do we preach a Mother's Day sermon or do we preach a Pentecost sermon? When that Holy Spirit came upon them, leaning toward the Pentecost sermon, well read if you think about it. Symbol of the fire of Pentecost. Acts 2, verse 4 tells us that the Holy Spirit did come, or when it came, all of them. Was this all the people, or just the disciples, just the believers? Who is included into all? I'm not sure, but all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus had said in John chapter 14, do you know what he said in John 14? He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's going to heaven to prepare a place for us. And he's going to come back and get his disciples, his believers. You and I, who are believers. He had also said in Matthew 28, this in-between time, he had said in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's a pretty good authority, isn't it? Let's don't just read over that and say, yeah, he had a lot of authority. All authority of heaven, all authority of earth. He was speaking with authority. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching, etc. Mark 16, it is recorded that he had said, go into the world and preach the good news. Mark's version, a condensed version of what Matthew recorded. And then Luke chapter 24, Jesus had said, repentance and forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And then he said, you are witnesses of these things. When he had risen and was walking on the earth before his ascension, he had met the disciples by the Sea of Galilee, those who had gone fishing he met with. And he took Peter, it appears he took him all by himself. But Peter looked and saw John and wondered about him. And he spoke to Peter about being a good pastor. Peter was probably more of a preacher than he was a pastor. You know, looked like he had a short fuse. Looks like he was easily excited and would jump to answer a question before he thought it through. He says, take care of my people. Take care. Feed my lambs. Take care of those in your charge. And later we find that Peter did that through his writings. 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And that was one way that Peter could show his love. And this was the reinstatement of Peter into the fold because he had denied Jesus. In this experience, in these words that Jesus told the disciples to be how to live in the in-between time between his ascension and his return, we find the word together. Why is it so important to come to church? It's to get the support of other people. It's to know that we're not alone in this experience. We're not alone in this task that we are involved in. Because look around, there are other people involved in it too. We're not the only one singing praises to God. We join our voices with other people. Like last evening, we learned that we're not the only one that's got a choir that sings praises to God. Because 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 churches were involved in that experience. They came together. And that's what the disciples did. They met together. They also preached. The word was shared. Why do we have preaching? To instruct. To proclaim. To tell about Jesus. To encourage people how they should act before Jesus as Jesus' people. And many other things. They were to be witnesses. They had witnessed it, but they were to bear witness. A witness bears witness. They were to make disciples. And then Jesus instructed Peter, pretty much in detail, to care for the people. So in this in-between time, what are we to do? What are we to do during this in-between time? What are you doing in the in-between time? The time between Jesus' ascension and when he returns. That's where we're living. Are you following Jesus? That's the invitation today. If you're not following him, to join in. Join those who are following Jesus. If you're already following him, are you staying right behind him? Are you lagging behind? Are you wandering off? It might be a time that we renew our commitment to Jesus, to following and serving. You know, this might be the time that we would choose to say, it's time for me to become an official part of a church. And in particular, Jesus Cumberland Presbyterian Church. Let's pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus lived and died for us. And we thank you, Lord, most especially that you raised him to new life, that he overcame sin and death. And he's the first fruit of those who can expect to be raised to new life, those who are trusting you. Lord, we pray for you to help us to live worthy lives during this in-between time between Jesus' ascension and his coming again.
to claim. Those who trust Him. In His name, we offer this prayer. Amen. 373 is the number. I'm going to ask that we stand together and we sing the first verse of "Where He Leads, I Will Follow." And maybe you have a public commitment this morning that you would make in this congregation before these people who are gathered in Jesus' name to give you support and encouragement. They're not to be feared or be fearful of. They're here to support you if you have that need to make a public affirmation, proclamation, confession this morning.
Join me with our statement of faith. It's in your hymnals on page 716, and it's also on the screen. I believe in God the Father
Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.